the essence of the Christian life, in my opinion. If you have that book, we have it in the library. If you don't have it, I recommend you read it. If you only read one Christian book this year, I'd recommend read that one, because it just encapsulates so many important principles for living a Christian life. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. I got a new cell phone this week. And it's interesting. There's so many ways you can use a cell phone. You know, we were just during this week, we were over at the coast, and I saw my niece over there who has 5 kids, and she keeps track of all of her kids with her cell phone. So she knows where every one of them is at any given time. And the oldest one actually is 21 years old, and she's in college, but she's still keeping track of her. I think she's going to have to give up on that sometime here. But amazing, huh? And I have a device at home that I can plug into the computer in my car. And when I'm driving down the road, it sends information to my phone about what's happening in the engine. So, you know, I can go down the road and it will tell me how much pollution is coming out of my tailpipe at any given moment. I'm not sure I really wanted to know that, but there's a whole list. You know, there are literally thousands of things that you can do with a cell phone, because a cell phone can be used for many purposes. Well, your life can be lived for many purposes too. And the question is, which purposes will you live for? And deciding that should be a really important thing for each of us, because making those decisions, we only have one life to live. And what will we do with it? What will we do with the years that we have? That's a decision we each make. We may not actually consciously make it. We make decisions all the time without thinking them through, don't we? And we just, off we do this, off we do that. Didn't really give it much thought. I want us to give some thought today to the purposes for which we're living life. We speak of people making something of themselves, you know, and we mean that they don't just drift through life, but that they have some goals that they work at and they're trying to achieve. And people have many different goals in life. Maybe the most common ones are trying to make money, seeking fame, or approval of others, acceptance, being popular. People seek for that. People pursue power. And there's a certain thrill you get from having the power, you know, being in charge, feeling you're under control. You may not control anybody else, but if you can just control your own life, we seek to have power. And a position, maybe. A position of authority, or a position that everybody recognizes. And then people work to develop their talents. And it becomes a purpose in life to become better at something. Maybe better than other people. Maybe be able to do things that nobody else has ever done. I saw a climbing video not too long ago with my son-in-law and daughter-in-law of a guy who climbed El Capitan without any ropes. The whole thing. Might be the best climber in the world, but he risked his life and did it. He didn't recommend anybody else try it. But people try to do things that make them stand out. Stand out. Here, let's. Okay. And here's the thing. People that pursue many of these different goals in life, they usually end up, sooner or later, feeling empty after all. You know, people who have made great wealth, who have fame, who have power, who have talent, there's a point at which it doesn't satisfy And people sense there should be a higher purpose somewhere. And there is. Jesus described this when he said in John 10:10, I have come that they might have life and might have it more abundantly. Two things Jesus said he came to bring. First of all, just life. And we all need life. I mean, I don't mean physical life. I mean spiritual life here. Because in our natural state, when we're not following Jesus, we're separated from God by our sin, and we need to be forgiven and restored to a relationship with him, and then be given eternal life in heaven. And that's what Jesus came to bring us. He died on the cross. He took away our guilt. He took our penalty of our sin on himself instead of us. He died so we could live. I have come that they might have life. And yet there's something else added there. And have it more abundantly. I mean, abundance means plenty, you know, overflowing. Just ample and beautiful and powerful living. And so Jesus didn't say he came to bring us a magic perfect life where nothing would ever go wrong, but a better life. And it's that abundant life that we have when we fulfill God's purposes in our life. So the fact is, God's purposes for your life and my life are so fulfilling that when you pursue them, you will experience a satisfaction you can't get anywhere else. I say that confidently because I have experienced this in my own life, as imperfect as my life is and has been, as I've pursued God's purposes, I've known that. And many other people too, Christians who seek to follow Jesus. So the fact is, you might not have much of the big four: money, fame, power, talent, just an ordinary person. But you won't even miss those things. You will have no regrets as you follow God's purposes for your life. And so the Bible promises it, and experience proves that's true. There is an abundant life, and it's available to all, not just a few who have wealth or all these other things. You know, in fact, wealth can be one of the biggest obstacles to abundant life. And given that here in America, we are generally wealthy people, most of us are really wealthy by the standards of the world. And it can be a barrier to having the abundant life from Jesus. In 1 Timothy, it says, that was a slide trying to illustrate how sin separates us from God, right? That's a pretty cool slide, isn't it? But I left it out at the right time. Here's what 1 Timothy says. Teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Oops. There. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. By doing this, they will be storing up their treasure as a good foundation for the future, so that they may experience true life. And the Bible has a number of warnings like this about being led astray. The verse, the love of money is the root of all evil. So wealth can be an obstacle to God's best. Wealth is not evil, but it can be. It can become evil if we desire it too much. So how do you have this abundant life? that comes by pursuing God's higher purpose. You begin by understanding that your Creator is the source and the goal of your highest purpose. I mean, He's the source because He created you, and He created you unique, and you are special and valuable in His eyes. And whatever your strengths and weaknesses or what you are as a person, He values you, and He has a place for you in His purpose. So you begin to understand He is your source, and you have come from Him, and you are meant to serve Him here. And someday you will go to Him through Jesus Christ, who's your Savior, who died for you. And so when you discover why He made you and what He had in mind and what was His, what, when His purpose has become your purpose, then you'll find fulfillment. So the Bible tells us five basic purposes that God has for us. And you could add some other things to this, but these are probably the key things under which almost everything else would fall that the Bible teaches us. And the first purpose, we'll just go look at them for a minute. There we go. The first purpose that God created us for is to worship Him, to honor Him. You know, in worship, the word comes from the word worth. It's recognizing that God is worthy. He is more worthy than anything or anybody. His power, His glory, His goodness, His wisdom, His grace, His love. He knows everything. He is above all and worthy. Recognizing that is just putting your own mind, connecting with reality in your own mind. Not recognizing God's worth is to be divorced from reality. So worshiping God is part of what He created us for. If we don't recognize His worth, then we're out of touch. And the Scripture is full of, all sorts of verses that tell us to worship God. And that's a whole sermon itself, talking about what worship really means, how we do it. But Psalm 104 says, 100 verse 4 says, "Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise." And it particularly talks about then worshiping as a group, all coming together and praising God. But you can also worship God, just you and Him. In a quiet moment, you just talk to God. You thank Him. You tell Him you love Him. You tell Him He's awesome. and you're saying the truth. And you can worship privately. So, that's the first purpose. The second purpose, be connected. And the first word, fellowship, there really refers to other believers, other people who are trying to honor God. Be connected with them. Meet with them. Hebrews says, "Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together." That's why we're here. And we come to be together and worship God together, but also to build one another up, encourage each other, and be a part of others. And we share our faith with one another, and we love one another. But this goes beyond the church and the people who are believers. It goes to anybody, our neighbor, who we should love. Be a person who loves your neighbor as yourself. And you see really here we have the first two great commandments. You know, love God with all your heart, number one. Number two, love your neighbor as yourself. They're kind of included in these two first purposes. John 13, 34, Jesus said, "You know, love one another as I have loved you. In this will all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for each other." So he's saying, you Christians here, when you love each other, even the people that you don't identify with so well, even the people that you don't even like, but they are believers, they're maybe flawed believers, they have their faults, but you love them, you show to the world that Jesus is real. And so that is what we're called to do. I've often thought that the church is a kind of an amazing miracle, because it is, this is every church is a place where with Jesus everyone is welcome, old and young, rich and poor, highly educated, little educated, from all different backgrounds, with all different besetting sins, and yet we are to come together and love each other. See, that's a miracle. It's easy to love people who are just like you. In the church, we love people, and the one thing we only maybe we have in common is that we're both followers of Jesus. Otherwise, we could be completely different in so many ways. And that's a miracle. And that's what God wants to happen. Okay, third purpose is to have ministry. And that's kind of a formal word. So we think of it as, oh, I have to have some position where I do this and that in the church. Or, you know, I have to have some kind of a job description and responsibility that I carry out, or whatever. Well, that can be ministry. That's one kind of ministry. But ministry is any time that you do something in this world that honors Jesus. And any time that you love your neighbor, you're doing ministry. Any time that you actually just are friendly to somebody else, you know, just smile. Any time that you cheer somebody else up, any time that you give a little gift, or write a little note. So there are so many different ways in which we can do our part. But God designed the church that we're all different. We have different gifts. No one of them is more important than the other. It's not more important to be the preacher at all. It's just one of the gifts. It is important, though, that we do our part, what we can do. And so you find out what you can do, and it might be a job that the church needs doing, but it might be something else God has led to you to do. We've had, at one time, we had two of the five school board members were members of our church. And I remember one of them said to me, boy, I can't really do much in the church because I'm so busy with the school board. I told him, no. God has put you in this position to have an influence. And so, you know, be content that that's what you're called to. And, you know, you don't have enough time to do everything. So, but God has given you a ministry. Recognize that. So, okay. Psalm 100 verse 2 says, serve the Lord with gladness. And I want to emphasize here about this ministry and doing your part that it's not... Don't let it be a guilt trip. Oh, I'm not doing anything. I feel guilty. No, just ask Jesus to show you and follow his leading. And remember that you mustn't compare yourself to anybody else. Don't look at somebody else and say, oh, they're doing this. I wish I could do that. Being here and just praying for others on a Sunday is ministry. So do it with gladness, and don't let yourself get guilty about this. This is not, you know, in Jesus Christ, we're free. You are free to just love him and however he shows you to express that love, and then just be content because he's accepted you as you are. And the life of ministry and serving the Lord is meant to be a life of freedom in Christ. And we often take that away. I mean, we get our own obsessions and, all right, I'm going on a rabbit trail here, but this is important, how you think of your own ministry. And if you're getting burdened by it, then it's probably time for a break and a step back and remember who you're serving and remember that he doesn't expect from you any more than you can bear. And he said, you know, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Okay, number four purpose is that word discipleship. Disciple means follower. So following Jesus and letting him develop in you the character of Christ. In 2 Peter 1, it says, for this reason you must make every effort to supplement your faith with moral character, your moral character with knowledge. One of your five purposes is simply to become more like Jesus was in his love, in his compassion, in his servant heart, in his thoughts, the character that is in us, the heart that is in us. Let it grow. Let God move you to become more like Jesus. And then the fifth purpose is mission. I guess aiming at that is not the idea, is it? I should aim this somewhere else? No? You don't know. All right. I know that it used to be that you aimed at the screen, and I'm not sure why you did. But then now, it's basically spreading the truth around. And we should be part of doing that because there are people outside of Christ that need Christ, and they don't know. They don't really understand. And, of course, the first way that you do that is just simply the way you live your life. So that somebody looks at you and they say, oh, is that what a Christian's supposed to be? So that's the most important starting point. Spreading the truth is a difficult thing, though, isn't it? I mean, it's difficult in our culture because people have walls up, or it's difficult in many other places. You know, where if you try to spread the truth, you can be in jail, you can be even killed. There's a young man in Vienna named Afshin. When I talked with him, he was 18 years old, and he's from Afghanistan. When he was growing up, his father had got a hold of a Bible and started reading it and became a follower of Jesus. And his father began to take Bibles to friends and people in his village. And now tell them, read about this. You need to read about Jesus. And he did this for quite some time, I think at least a couple of years. But then one night, he had gone out to take a Bible to somebody, and he never came home. And his wife heard that the Taliban had discovered what he was doing, and they had kidnapped him and killed him. They never did find his body. And Afshin was 9 years old at the time. And he said to his mother, Mother, I'm going to do what Dad did. And he began to take Bibles to other people in the village. And he did this for 2 or 3 weeks. And then his mother got a message. He'd better stop doing that, or he's going to be killed too. And she realized that they were in danger, and there's a younger sister, Afshin, and a sister, and she left Afghanistan. They came to Europe, and they they are active in one of the Farsi-speaking churches in Vienna right now. But there was a price to be paid, wasn't there? And we should always remember that there are Christians around the world that are paying a price for spreading the truth. And a heavy, heavy price. And there's a great reward for them. And God has honored people who have been faithful. I think of Anyans are going back to Uganda. They're one of the missionaries we support. And it was really stressful for them there. And they're trying to learn Swahili. And they've got three kids, and they've had malaria. And, you know, it's been difficult. And they came home, and they took a break and got some rest. And they're going back. And because they're paying a price to spread the truth. I mean, the word about us, too, they're in Slovenia. They had five really good years and worked really hard there. You know, I visited them four times in Slovenia, each year, the last 4 years. I visited them and spent two or three days with them and saw what they're doing. And God is really touching that country through their ministry, but they're getting worn out. And, in fact, the mission said, you've got to go home for a while, and made them come home. And Sean will tell you, he said, I was pretty angry, that we're going to be made to leave. But within a month of getting home, he realized this was the right thing. We needed a break to get refreshed. And they're going back soon. I hope to see them August or September. When we go to Austria, we'll be going July 17th. I hope to see them sometime and go down to Slovenia. But I'm just trying to say there is a price to be paid. It means that somebody that you might give them a Christian book or a New Testament or a gospel, and they might get angry at you. What are you trying to shove Jesus down my throat for? Well, you're not if you do one of these kind of harmless little, just giving people a book, come on. All I'm saying is we still need to be doing it. We need to figure out ways to spread some seeds. And we're not responsible if they grow or not. But just like the sower throws the seed everywhere, some will fall on good ground and some won't. So these are, and you know what this hall is based on. Go into all the world and preach the gospel, Matthew 28:18. And preaching is not just standing up in front of a group. It's living your life as a Christian, showing that you're following Jesus, and every little deed that we do that might spread some seed. Okay, so knowing about your purposes, though, are not going to do any good unless you build your life around these purposes. And a lot of people build their life around their job, right? A lot of people build their life around their family. But instead of building your life around your family, build your family around God's five purposes. Okay? Build your job around God's five purposes. I remember when I first started dating Ruth, I was in high school. I was 16 years old. And I got to know her parents. And I was impressed with the extent to which they had built their family around God's purposes. I mean, they had woven their following of Jesus into their family life. For instance, every day when the kids were heading out the door to go to school, they had a scripture verse that week. And they would say it every day before they left. So by the end of the week, they had it memorized. And it kind of started their day off with a verse from the Bible. That's one example. When I was there for dinner, after the dinner was done, they grabbed the Bible and read maybe three or four or five verses, talk about what it meant, 5, 6, 7 minutes, and have a prayer. But they brought the Word of God into their family life. And that impressed me, and one of the things that really attracted me to Ruth, was not just that she was a nice person, but that faith that was alive in her and her family. So, I read recently about some businessmen in China who had some factories, and they're Christians. And they had set aside, these different factories had set aside a prayer room in the factory. And then they would have every week a Bible study for the workers. And they could actually, you know, quit working and go to a Bible study on company time and learn God's word. And people were coming to Christ in these factories. Because these guys, these Christian businessmen, were building their work around God's purposes. It wasn't their work was first. God's purpose was first. And you know, they at the time I heard this story, they had not gotten into trouble. I don't know what it is now. But the authorities had let this all go because, well, number one, it wasn't a church, so they weren't really worried about it. And number two, the factories were successful in employing a lot of people, and they didn't want to do anything to damage the economy. So they let these guys alone. But they were planning their work around God's higher purposes. So, you know, this goes with the scripture verse that in Matthew, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. I mean, that really, right there, is what following God's five purposes is. It's how we can seek first God's kingdom. Five specific ways. Now, I want you to notice first that all these purposes are, they're all important and they're complementary. And they work together in our life. And you don't want to neglect any of them. It's important that we pursue all of them at once. For example, in James, James says, faith without works is dead. Okay, so the guy who goes to church and maybe honors God with his lips and says he believes and expresses his praise and so on, but he has no ministry, he isn't doing the other things, that's an incomplete following of Jesus. Faith without works. Is real faith, can it even exist without so you're doing something about it? That's James says no. Okay, then 2 Peter 3:18 says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a person who we're being told, develop your character, follow Jesus, grow. Grow as a Christian. Now, you might have a ministry of some kind that you're doing faithfully. You might teach a kids class or any number of things. But you could be neglecting your own personal relationship with Jesus and your own growth. And so you're not growing more like Christ in your character and your heart. So the point here is to live a balanced life and follow after all five of those purposes. And just let me emphasize that living a purposeful Christian life should not be a heavier burden. It's not like something, okay, now you're talking about five purposes. Oh, I got all this. I already have a lot in my life. How am I possibly going to do these things too? You know? Please, Pastor, don't give me anything more to do. it isn't about doing more. It's about refocusing on what's most important. And it may mean dropping some things from your life. Other things will have to become less important. Like John the Baptist said, you know, he must increase and I must decrease. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I mean, that indicates to me that if you really clued in to what we should focus on, it's not going to make our life harder. We're going to have a freedom. There might be things that are really enslaving you. I have had things that kind of had me in bondage too. And and you battle with this all your life, but as you focus on God's purposes, those things have to become less. And you get a freedom. So, the Christian life is meant to be lived with joy. And for some people, even talking about your purposes instantly feels like a burden and like not joy. So that's a problem where you don't really have God's view of it. If you have God's view of it, it will be a joy because you are unconditionally loved and accepted just the way you are. And you don't have to fulfill all five of these purposes or God will reject you. Not a problem because it's by grace you're saved. So have joy in pursuing the purposes. Following God's purposes is easier than the alternative because there's a treadmill that people pursue, seeking more money, more fame, more approval of other people, more power, more control, more achievement. It becomes a treadmill many times. You might be on it. And the freedom comes when you seek Christ first. And it gets you off that treadmill. And then whatever money you earn or whatever fame you get or whatever power or whatever position or whatever achievements, let them be all for Jesus. Whether it's little or whether it's much. Okay, last point. A purposeful Christian life must be chosen. Must be chosen. Joshua said, "Choose you this day who you will serve." You just don't, you won't get into living a purposeful Christian life by accident. And that choice must be made like every day, afresh. Like to wake up in the morning and say, "Lord, how can I fulfill your purpose for me today?" And then as you begin the day that way, you will be making clear choices. If you have not made clear choices about your purposes, you will not have a clear focus in your life. And to not choose God's way is to choose to waste your life. That's a harsh statement, but you can be a follower of Jesus, a believer in Jesus, and he's saved you and he's forgiven you and you're going to go to heaven, but you can still waste a lot of your life by not following his purposes for you. He's given you his grace and his forgiveness and he loves you. He also wants you to accomplish things for him in the years you have. So don't miss out on fulfilling God's plan. You know, Paul expressed it this way, "I press on toward the goal of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." I mean, purpose directed, right? And he was excited about living that way. So I'm hoping you will be excited too about pursuing God's purposes. Here's the thing. We have good intentions, but a lot of times our follow-through is weak, right? I mean, this is the battle I've had all my life to really follow through with what I really believe I should be doing. I don't know anybody who doesn't struggle with that. It's life. It's the way it is. Jesus said at one point, "No man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or love the one and hate the other." And that verse has kind of been the key for me to keep my thinking clear. I ask myself, what master am I serving? And when you immediately ask the question, you know, the answer usually comes. And it just makes clear, because the master we serve is the real purpose that we're living for. And so we have to ask, what masters rule in our lives? And well, okay, it's a lot of stuff, isn't it? Let me go back to here. And ask these two questions. Which purpose is the easiest for you to pursue? Which one is lacking the most in your life? Is there, if you pray and ask God to show you, can he help you with filling in where you need to change your focus a little bit? Let's pray. Dear God, thank you that you've put us here for a purpose. Lord, help us to be free from serving other masters and to wholeheartedly seek you as our master, to follow with joy your purposes for us. I just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, God bless you. I want to do one more thing before you all leave. Karsten, would you stand up? Karsten and Mike Noland are leaving tomorrow, right? For Uganda, Africa. And the reason for their trip is basically, if I say this right, they're both supporting some Christian work over there. So they're going to go visit and see what's going on and try to be encouragement. And so that's 10 days. It's going to be, I think, probably a life-changing trip for them. And Mike is at church with his kids today, but I'm going to pray for both of them before we close and just ask God to, Lord, we ask God to take Mike and Karsten, and may they be an encouragement to Christians in this far country, Lord. And Lord, may you bless your work there and just bless this trip so that Mike and Karsten will be in the right places at the right time, and they will be able to make some difference in the short time they're there, and that, Lord, you'll teach them and show them what you're doing, and may it be a blessed trip. Lord, may you keep them strong, may you keep them healthy. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. I hope I didn't forget anything else I was supposed to announce. God bless you all. Have a good week.